Hi, this is Take Charge Your Health with Corinne Frenari, clinical nutritionist, clinician assistant, and Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Listen, learn, and I hope you enjoy the show. Bye!
Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Frenari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're here today for another remarkable, innovative show that's going to teach you more about your health than you realized you needed to know. And I'm here with my co-host,
Carol Peterson.
Ah, yes, Carol Peterson. Welcome, my favorite co-host. And we are here with Dr. David Minkoff. And Dr. Minkoff has been on before. He gave us a very important talk once before. And guess what? It got attention, I must tell you. And today we intend to do the same. Dr. Minkoff, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be back on with you guys.
Yeah. I know. We'll keep you going. We'll get it going really fast. Carol, could you introduce Dr. Minkoff to the audience and some of the people that maybe didn't hear our previous show?
Yeah, so Dr. David Minkoff actually is an alma mater of the University of Wisconsin, which is also my alma mater. He grew up in Madison, Wisconsin, and attended medical school there. He is board certified in pediatrics. He has done a fellowship in infectious disease. But along his path, and as often happens, he relates a story about struggling with his wife's illness and what happened to her. So now he's in biological medicine, heavy metal detoxification, anti-aging medicine, hormone replacement, functional medicine, energy medicine, neurotherapy, prolotherapy, homeopathy, optimum nutrition. This really runs the gamut. You would think that, I wonder if we could find a word that would encompass all that wonderful broadness. I don't know.
I guess the word is Dr. David Minkoff.
So I have known Dr. Minkoff and his wife for a great many years. So welcome, welcome, Dr. Minkoff. We're so happy to have you here today.
Thank you very much. And it's interesting because one of the real sort of impetuses in my career was sitting down with probably your mentor and one of mine, Wally, at Women's International in Madison. We were there for a visit in the middle 90s, and we had no idea about hormone replacement or safe uses of cortisol or thyroid. And we called him up on a lark, and he invited us over on a Saturday afternoon, and we spent a couple hours with him, and he opened up my eyes to the whole area of hormone replacement in just a miraculous way. So I know you've worked with him for many, many years. He's an amazing man. I just thought I'd throw that in because we never talked about that.
Well, no, and I'll certainly pass that on to Wally. He'll be thrilled to hear that, and of course, extend greetings to you and Sue.
So many of the lectures that I hear by Dr. Minkoff focus on chronic diseases. He deals, or a large portion of his practice, are diseases that most people can't get a hold of, and these people live half or one quarter lives because their energy isn't functioning. They're in pain. They're not so sick, some of them, that they're in bed, but they're not well enough to function on a daily basis. And I wanted to ask Dr. Minkoff, How did you get involved in treating this very specific patient population, almost like the patient population, the discard, the ones that all have been given their labels of whatever, rheumatoid arthritis and given drugs, or Lyme disease and given drugs, and still are not functioning? How did you get involved with this patient population, Dr. Minkoff?
You know, I think that mostly it's because I like helping people and I like challenges. We just sort of, when I got into this, my wife was supposedly healthy and then got what was called MS. And it just didn't make any sense to me. It turns out she was mercury toxic and that was the problem with her. But because I sort of solved that problem with her, a lot of our friends noticed that, gee whiz, I have chronic headaches, or I have rheumatoid arthritis, or I've got irritable bowel syndrome, or I've got cancer, or things like that, or an autoimmune disease. Can you apply what you learned about her to me? Because the doctors that I'm seeing have a very limited view of what causes what I've got, and all of what they're giving me are things to try to make me feel better, but none of them are really directed toward, why did I get this in the first place, and how can I actually really get better so I don't become sort of medically disabled just because the medications that I'm taking are giving me more side effects than almost the disease symptoms. So it sort of directed me in that way. And then I like the challenge of the puzzle of this type of patient, like, what is really wrong with you, and can we together figure it out so that you could get your life restored and be out of pain and get your energy back? And there's so many of these patients now. It's just like everywhere, because everybody's really suffering from virtually the same things. And this is so interesting, because yesterday I had a local veterinarian come see me because she heard me on the Lyme Summit, and she said, I just had to come talk to you because what I'm seeing in animals is the same thing that you're seeing in patients.
Wow.
She said, when I started practice 30 years ago, I would see an animal with cancer maybe once a month. She said, I'm now seeing 4 to 5 a week.
Really?
And same thing with hypersensitivity. They get rashes and they get problems. And these are things that people, this was very interesting for me to hear, because this is what, these epidemics are what we're seeing in medicine. Epidemics of Lyme disease and ADD and hypersensitivity and asthma and autoimmune disease and cancer and chronic fatigue and Lyme disease. These are all just skyrocketing out of control. And these are things we never saw 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. We didn't see them. And from talking with her, she said, hey, look, we're seeing the same things in the animals. Because these animals live with people. They're subjected to the same things that the people are subjected to in terms of radiation and chemicals and pesticides and processed foods and vaccinations. They're all sick too. So we're either killing ourselves or we're being killed by the influences that are in our environment slowly and with chronic illness. And this is a really big problem now, for really globally. This isn't just the U.S. and Canada. This is in Europe. We have patients coming from Sweden and from England and from Ireland and from the Middle East because they're seeing the same things there. It's a tragedy, and it's something that is very interesting to work with, but really I think crucial if we're gonna bail people out. She's the epidemiologist at Harvard who worked out the glyphosate data, the Roundup.
Seth. Sema, right? Dr.
Yes.
Sema? Yes. What's her first name?
And this is just regards to autism.
Right.
But you know, I was a pediatrician for 15 years, and I've maybe told the story last time, but I keep telling it because it's so poignant to what's going on. is I remember making rounds with chairman of the department. His name was Bill Nyhan, and Bill Nyhan was one of the foremost pediatricians and researchers in the world at the time. And once a week, he would come and make rounds with us and see the patients that were on the floor in the ward at Children's Hospital. And I remember specifically one day him going around, and there was a little, probably 15 or 18 months old, that was in the crib. And he said, he told us about the kid, and he said, when you are done with rounds today, I want each of you to come by and examine this child, because you'll probably never see another one in your career. He said, this child has autism. Mm. This was 1978. He told me that the incidence of autism at that point was like one in over 100,000 live birth children. It was very rare. And he said, in the course of your career, you will never see, you know, as a busy pediatrician, the chances of you seeing 100,000 children are, you know, you'll never see that many kids. Mm-hmm. And chances are you'll never see another one. But if you do, at least you'll have seen one and you'll recognize it. The incidence of autism now is one in 50 or 60, somewhere in there.
Yes.
And Stephanie Senoff says, this is a Harvard, you know, this is not any small potato scientist. She's a very eminent scientist. She said at the current rate, where 3/4 of all the rainwater in the United States is positive for Roundup or glyphosate, mm-hmm. that at the current rate, by 2025, 1 in 5 children is going to have autism. Mm-hmm. You know, autism children are very difficult. There are huge burdens on school systems and families. Who's going to work? Who's going to be left to work if 1 in 5 children need the kind of
full-time
care and medical treatment? Because we see autistic kids here, too. It's very complicated. It takes lots of money. The usual resources and insurance companies, they don't pay for any of this stuff that's going to ever make these children better.
And then get
their plan, psych medication. And that certainly does only one thing, and it makes them worse. So this is really kind of where we're at as a society right now.
And those parents taking care of those children aren't going to be very well either. They're going to be the Lyme disease, chronic fatiguers, chronic pain, autoimmune diseases. Who's going to take care of the parents of the children?
You know, that's right. And so, you know, I grew up in the 60s, and one of my favorite authors was Jean-Paul Sartre, and he was an existentialist. And he wrote a book called No Exit. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nowhere to go. And we are in a situation that there's nowhere to go. The polar bears have hypothyroidism and plastics in their thyroid, and they've got high levels, even in Antarctica, they have high levels of the same chemicals and garbage that we have. So there's no going anywhere, and we have to do two things. We have to be able to impinge on lawmakers and opinion leaders to get these companies that are producing these products to lay off of it. We have to get people to go organic and make selections so that they're eating good food. And we have to get doctors educated so that they see that this is a problem. The problem with people isn't a shortage of Prozac or Ampicillin. It's a shortage of health, of food, of supplements, of healthy lifestyle. And that's the only way we're going to turn it around. Otherwise, we're going to just make ourselves extinct.
Now, one piece of the work that you're doing is you're working a lot with proteins, amino acid proteins. And
yes.
You explained to us at another time on another program about these proteins. And could you explain to us about the proteins that you're working with and why are you working with proteins? Isn't there an abundance of protein? Isn't there an abundance of amino acids in our food supply?
Well, there are certainly sources of protein, and here's where this idea came from. And this was another physician who was working with children in Africa and trying to optimize their nutritional sources. And what they were using at the time was milk and rice, to try to take children with kwashiorkor and what's called marasmus. These are severely protein, really starved children, and to try to do nutritional reconstitution with them. The World Health Organization's sort of go-to formula was a milk-based formula with rice for calories. The question that was asked is, could you improve upon that? Could you provide a source of protein, but really amino acids? And for those that aren't kind of familiar with the terminology, that proteins are made of smaller units called amino acids. Now, if you think of it, if we were going to think of language, the alphabet in English has 26 letters and 8 vowels, and if you take those letters and vowels, you can make up different combinations of words. Now, some words are very short, like one letter, like A or A or I. And some words are very long. I think I learned in school that the longest word in the English language, do you guys know what it is?
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Yes, yes. Well,
that's funny.
When I was in junior high, that was the longest word. Now, that's been a few years, so maybe someone...
Maybe there's another longer one now.
Anyway, so for just so we... So there's enough trivia on the show. So anyway, so some words are really long. And the way proteins work is similar. The alphabet for proteins are called amino acids. These are molecules which have carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen, and occasionally sulfur. There's 22 of them that are in nature that our body takes and makes into proteins which are longer. So if we take like a protein like glutathione, it's got 3 amino acids. And if they're put together in a certain way, it will be glutathione. Growth hormone, I think, has 89 amino acids. So when those amino acids, those 22 different amino acids are put together in a certain blend, you get growth hormone. And another blend would be thyroid hormone. And another blend would, say, be collagen or skeletal muscle. Now, skeletal muscle, I think, has 455 amino acids put together, so it's very long and it's very complicated. Now, the way it works in nature is that if you eat let's say you eat some animal protein, you have a piece of fish or a piece of meat, and in order for our body can't take that whole long muscle fiber of 455 amino acids as muscle fiber and absorb it. So we put it in our mouth and we chew it up and it goes to our stomach. And in our stomach, there's an enzyme called pepsin, and the pepsin with hydrochloric acid gets activated and it starts breaking up this 455 amino acid chain into smaller pieces. And then it goes to our small intestine and our pancreas puts into our small intestine when we eat a couple of other enzymes, trypsin, chymotrypsin, and these things chop up the proteins even more until what we're left with is individual amino acids, which then can be absorbed into our body. If they're not broken down all the way, if you don't have hydrochloric acid, or you don't have enough pepsin in your stomach, or you don't have enough chymotrypsin, and we test people for these things, and we find the vast majority of people, over probably about 35 or 40, they don't have this stuff anymore. They don't have it. They don't have enough. So digestion fails. Once these amino acids are digested and they go into the bloodstream, they go into individual cells and the process is reversed. The cells will take each one of these amino acids, start linking them together. So if it's a hair cell, it will link these things together and make hair, which is a protein. Or if it's a liver cell, it will link these amino acids together to make an enzyme so that something can be detoxified. Or the thyroid will make the thing, put it together, so that you get thyroid hormone. And so that's how the body works. Now, one of the things that I found in working with chronically ill people is that not only did many of them not have enough of the things in their digestive tract to break down the proteins, but also their gut was very inflamed. They had parasites or funguses, or the membrane itself was not intact, and they couldn't absorb these things very well either.
So and you're starving when you're eating. You could be eating protein in your diet, but you absolutely can't absorb it or break it down so your body can use it.
That's right, and you don't get it. So if we then measure and we say, okay, Mary, a patient, I want to know, do you have enough amino acids in your blood so that your body can make the proteins that your body needs to sustain itself? And the body has over 50,000 different proteins that it's got to make. It's very complicated. And many of these proteins get damaged on a daily basis by oxidative stress, chemicals, or by physical stress. The guy does a whole bunch of pull-ups and then his muscles are sore. Or he runs a lot and his heart has to replace muscle fibers and his tendons and his bones. And in all tissues, there's sort of a turnover, like the inside of your gut. Every 3 to 5 days, you're supposed to get a new layer.
Uh-huh.
In your liver, you know, in your bones, these things have a turnover rate. And if you're lacking really amino acids, you can't keep up with the turnover rate, and then your body starts to break down. And one of the areas that is the most important is that in order to make energy at all, inside your cell, inside this little area of the cell called the mitochondria, there are a series of enzymes which are required to be used to take sugar or fat and oxygen and make energy. And these things are all made out of protein. And if you're protein deficient, or really amino acid deficient, and you can't make those enzymes, you're not going to be able to make energy. Now, if your liver can't make energy, you're not going to detoxify. You're not going to make proteins. If your brain can't make neurotransmitters, you know, serotonin and dopamine and epinephrine and things like that, you're not going to be able to think straight, or you're going to be anxious, or you're going to be depressed, or you're not
sleep
going to be
deprived. Huge. Yeah. Sleep deprivation.
So these are the critical things, nutrients that are needed. And that when you put these in a way that sort of can bypass the gut and digestion. And the other part of this is if you can put them in a way that is in the right proportion, because of these 22 amino acids, there's 8 of them that make up more than half of every protein known. These are called essential amino acids. These are, out of these 8, you can make the other 14. And these essential amino acids are critical. And if you just ate essential amino acids, you wouldn't have to eat the rest because the body can make them. There was a discovery some years ago that if you put these 8 amino acids in a certain specific ratio, in a certain percentage, that when they went into the body would just soak them up like mad and could make any protein it wanted very quickly, and there'd be no even leftover waste. It would be just very efficient. And when they were looking for these starving children in Africa, what was the formula that it should be? It turns out this would be the formula, because over 99% of this particular blend of amino acids called perfect amino, that's why it's perfect amino. It's perfect because it's the exact perfect ratio of these 8 essential amino acids. And if you take that in, you can start to restore your own body so that it can now make things that it wasn't making. You can turn over your tissue the way you were supposed to. You can make enzymes so that you can detoxify, and you can make energy, and you can restore your physiology. And when you do that, you get big boosts in health, metabolism, nutrition, energy, and it makes people better.
Now, when people are protein deficient, well, actually, I have 2 questions. When people are protein deficient, they can't digest protein because the ability to digest is based on protein molecules and enzymes in the stomach, in the intestines, that allows you to digest. So I want to focus back. This is a protein formula. There are many protein formulas. There's whey protein, there's soy protein formulas, there's rice protein formulas, there's fish, there's chicken, there's turkey, there's
eggs
and hemp. So I'd like to talk about the different qualities of protein and the ability to digest them and why this is so important. And at the end of this, I want to talk about the different types of protein and their absorbability and how they can help us.
Sure. And what you're talking about is sort of a catch-22 that a person gets in. They can't digest it, they can't get it in, then they can't make what they need, and then if they don't have those things, then they can't detoxify, and then they can't make enzymes, and then they can't digest it. And so you get in this sort of dwindling spiral, which is what happens when people are, it's what happens with aging. We know that the average person between age 20 and 60 is going to lose 25 to 30% of their lean body mass. They're going to lose it. And it's not that a 60-year-old can't make protein, because if you give them the amino acids IV, they make protein fine. But the breakdown in either what they're putting in or in their body's ability to digest it and absorb it goes down, and that's why old people have shriveled up muscles and they shrink, and younger people look good, they're used to it. Now, here's what happens, and I did a talk on this to the American College of Nutrition. Now, these are all PhD-level dietitians, nutritionists, medical doctors who are experts in nutrition, and I told them about the following work, which isn't mine, but I pass it along here, and it's the basis for this product, Perfect Amino, which is what we're talking about. And that's this. The difference between a protein and a carbohydrate and a fat, those are the three so-called macronutrients, okay? So you have proteins, and you have fats, and you have carbohydrates, and you have vitamins and minerals and water, and that's the whole thing. That's everything that we're made out of. The difference between proteins and fats and carbohydrates is that proteins have nitrogen and fats and carbohydrates don't. All the rest of those are made out of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen in different proportions, but proteins have nitrogen. Now, amino acid is what those 22 amino acids that I was talking about is what makes up proteins. And amino in Greek means nitrogen. So these are substances that have nitrogen. So if you want to test a protein and you say, gee whiz, how good is this protein? What's the biological value? Like, how good is this that if I eat this particular protein, can my body then take that protein, disassemble it into individual amino acids, absorb it, reassemble it into my body protein? So can I take cow liver or cow muscle or goat muscle and make it into human muscle or hair or enzymes? And you can do a study to find out how. And that is, and let's just take whey, because whey is a very popular protein. Whey is a byproduct of the cheese-making industry, and for a long time it was thrown away because people didn't know what to do with it, and then somebody got the brilliant idea that this stuff that we're throwing away, maybe we could make something out of it that would be good, and that's what whey protein is. It's a protein that comes from manufacturing cheese. And whey protein so you could say to someone, okay, we're going to feed you fruits and vegetables, which have negligible amounts of usable protein, and we're going to just feed you whey protein, let's say, for 3 days. And during that 3 days, if we feed you 100 grams of whey protein per day, which would be plenty for just about anybody, supposedly, and we measure, and then 100 grams of whey protein, if you broke that down, it would end up being 16 grams of nitrogen.
16?
It's about 16% ratio.
Okay.
Okay. So we could say, okay, today you took in 100 grams of whey, and that equates to 16 grams of nitrogen. So the, on the formula, nitrogen in is 16. Now, we collect urine all day long. You don't throw any of your urine away. You collect it in a big jug. And we do this for the 3 days. And we say how much nitrogen per day came out. And what we want to know is how much nitrogen got retained. How much did stay in? Because if it stayed in, it meant your body took that amino acid. It did not break it down so that the nitrogen came off. It used it. It assembled it. And it made it into a protein somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't make it into a protein. The body takes the nitrogen off. And then now what you're left with is really a carbohydrate. It's a carbon-hydrogen-oxygen chain. And it can store it as fat. It can store it as glycogen. It can burn it. And the nitrogen is waste. That's why we urinate. Our whole urinary system is designed to rid the body of excess nitrogen, among other things. But nitrogen is the main thing. Urea is what urine is made out of, is nitrogen. So if we do that balance study with whey, what we'll find out is that only about 16% of the nitrogen that went in stayed in. 84% got peed out.
That's from whey.
That's from whey, or any dairy. It doesn't matter if it's cheese or yogurt or, you know, whatever, any form of dairy protein that you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
The retention is about 16%. Now, that isn't a very high value for what you take in, because it means you're getting a fair number of calories that aren't, you know, as a supposed high protein food, like whey protein is supposed to be like this great protein food. And what they will, what's promoted about it is that it's absorbed very well. Well, it is absorbed very well. You know, 100% absorption. Well, yes, it is. It goes in. But what's the cell doing with it? And if the cell's not making protein out of it, then it's taking the nitrogen off and it's using it as fuel.
Now,
here's an analogy. Let's say I'm in the car manufacturing business, and you ship me things that I need to make cars. And I've got a great big factory, and I tell you that the simplest car that I can make has four wheels, so I need you to send me, for every car, four wheels, and it has a chassis, like a body, so that I can put the wheels on there, and it needs a motor, and it needs a steering wheel. It'd be the simplest car. And you say, fine, I'm going to send you 100 wheels. Good. I'm going to send you 25 chassis. I'm going to send you 25 motors. And I'm going to send you one steering wheel. How many cars are you going to make?
One.
One car. And what are you going to do with all the rest of it?
It's waste. Till you get another steering wheel.
So you got a lot full of stuff, and in the body, it can't take the lot full of stuff. There's no storage pool for nitrogen in the body. There's no storage pool for protein except the body structure itself. So what happens is the body, and to the body, nitrogen is toxic. You get someone who can't pee, you know, their kidneys are damaged or their liver is damaged, can't make nitrogen. They get really sick because they can't process the nitrogen. They get uremia. They get a disease, and it's terrible. So if you want to optimize, if you sent me 100 wheels, 25 chassis, 25 steering wheels, and 25 steering wheels, I could make 25 cars and have virtually nothing left.
Uh-huh.
Now, this amino acid formula, this perfect amino, is that ratio for the body to make protein. It's the perfect exact blend so that 99% of the nitrogen stays in and doesn't go out. And you can give this to patients that have kidney disease. They're on dialysis.
Then are on a low-protein diet?
Well, they're on a low-protein diet. And if you take care of patients that have chronic kidney disease, they're on a very low protein diet, or even people with very, very severe, you know, like end-stage liver failure, you can't give them hardly any protein because they'll get nitrogen toxic. You know, you can get perfect amino in these patients and they don't get nitrogen toxic, and you can give them plenty of protein so their bodies don't break down. The problem with chronic renal failure patients, they're on low protein diets, and if you watch them, their immune system breaks down, their skin breaks down, their serum proteins break down because you can't put enough in them to keep up with the body needs. And you know what? If you gave them perfect amino, you give them 10 grams three times a day, you'd meet their whole protein requirement.
And
they wouldn't increase their B1 or their you wouldn't increase their free nitrogen, and they wouldn't be sick from their disease from malnutrition. Actually be able to keep them healthier, way healthier.
Well, that brings me to two things that I see regularly in my practice. And one is people understand the risk of a toxic environment. They really get it. And so they come into me and they're on a detox diet. And what is the detox diet? Almost all vegetables or all fruits and fruit juices or vegetable and fruit juices. And what I'm seeing is almost no amino acids, no proteins, or limited amino acids. And yet you just very clearly stated that the ability to detox is based on enzymes. The enzymes are created from amino acids. Could you explain that to us? Could you really clarify to the audience how the body detoxes and why it needs amino acids to be able to detox?
Sure. And what you're saying is really true. And I have found this, that with people who are on low-protein diets, vegans, vegetarians, within a couple years, virtually all of them, this isn't all, but it's virtually all, are protein malnourished. If I measure their serum amino acids, they're low. And often they're wasting muscle. They don't have the normal amount of muscle. Their hair doesn't grow as well. They are committed to doing this to improve their health. And I think that is very laudable. But I just find very, very few of them will their body actually be able to tolerate and do it because they don't have the things coming in. Our ancestors weren't vegetarians. There's no long-term vegetarian or vegan populations on planet Earth. There aren't any. Our ancestors weren't that way. Our DNA was based to a large part on animal protein. And so you can go without it. You take perfect amino if you're committed for religious reasons or spiritual reasons where you don't want to hurt or injure animals, I can understand that. But you better be taking 30 grams a day of perfect amino or your health is likely to suffer. So what happens with detoxification? There's a sort of a two-step system within the liver where enzymes kind of do a breakdown and then put a tag on these toxins so that they're kind of labeled to get out. And this is totally based on amino acids. And then once it gets into the gut, it has to be further moved out, and this also is true that you need amino acids. And so if you're trying to detox, if you're going to do one of these cleanses, the Master Miracle Cleanse or, you know, one of these things, if you take perfect amino while you do it, what you'll find is all the so-called detox reactions that people get, mostly it's because they're releasing toxic stored substances that are in their fat, in their bones, it's getting mobilized by the diet that they're eating, it's going into their system, it's overwhelming their liver, they're not putting enough amino acids in to actually handle the detox process, and this stuff circulates around, and they get headaches, and they feel exhausted, and they feel terrible, and they get pain. And you know what? If you do perfect amino while you do your next detox, will go way smoother, way better, it's way safer, and it'll be way more efficient. Detox better without suffering the consequences.
Now, I have two things to say again. I'm just bombarding you. First of all, the fact that cancer is a wasting disease, and people can't get enough in to be able to mobilize the fight and to maintain the strength while they're attempting to resist the disease. But then the other piece of that is you have developed a perfect aminos, and we had the other one. The results I've gotten from the perfect amino formula that you first put together is nothing less than dramatic. I have people coming in regularly just to get more perfect aminos. I have exercisers from Europe calling me to get bottles of perfect aminos to them. I have older patients and geriatric patients getting the perfect aminos, and each one with a story. But you created a new perfect aminos. You created actually kind of a lemony, delicious perfect aminos. That the other perfect amino was a tablet, and it went down easily, whereas many people are so tired of tablets and capsules. You created a perfect aminos drink that has a lemony flavor, and now the same as with the tablets, these amino acids are in your bloodstream without digestion and in your bloodstream in 23 minutes. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, I can. It's the
I threw a lot at you.
Cool lemon, I think, or cool lime. Cool
lime.
So this started with me because I've been taking this product for 10 years.
Now, you used to be a vegetarian.
I was a vegetarian.
For 40 years.
For 40 years, right.
And you are a triathlon.
I am a triathlete. I've done 41 Ironman triathlons.
There's
not a whole lot of people in the world have done more than that. And I'm still racing at my advanced age. So it's possible to keep your body functioning at a very high level for a long time if you give it the stuff it needs. And first on my list is really perfect amino. So I was taking 10 of these tablets every morning when I first got up. If you take one or two, I don't think you're going to feel much difference. Uh-huh. You have to take at least five, and most people we suggest take 10 every day. And on my hard workout days, like this morning was a hard workout day, I'm training for an Ironman in the coming months. And
wow.
So I did a five-hour bike ride today. It's in Florida. It's 90-plus degrees. And I don't want to say punished, but I work my body very hard because I'm trying to improve my fitness. So today I took 10 before I left for the bike ride, and then I was on the bike for 5 hours, almost 90 miles. And when I came back, I took another 10 because I know my body is in rebuild mode. It's like, give me amino acids fast so that I can replenish after this sort of workout. And I'll take 10 more before I go to bed tonight. But like tablets, it was getting tiring for me to do the tablets. So we developed this powder, which is perfect amino, and it takes two scoops and you put in a little water and you mix it up and you drink it down. And it's like, man, is that easy? Because it tastes good. It goes down easy. The tablets were in the bloodstream in 23 minutes. We have it measured with the powder. It's going to be faster.
It's really?
Virtually suspension, and it's going to go in almost immediately.
It doesn't need to be.
In the morning now, the first thing I do is I go to the sink. Before I even brush my teeth, I take two scoops of the powder. I put it in some cocoon water, which is a high oxygen water. I stir it up. I drink it down. I'm set for the day. I recently started doing it before I go to bed, and I think my sleep quality has really improved doing the same thing. It's so easy now. I don't have to do tablets. So the tablets are great, and for people who like tablets, it's great. But now we have an alternative, which is powder. And you started with cancer.
Yes.
I have never seen a cancer patient that wasn't amino acid deficient. Never. Uh-huh. We do a lot of cancer here. And when you're amino acid deficient, your immune system doesn't work. Your immune response is blunted. It doesn't work right. And cancer is a failure of the immune system to actually take out these bad rogue cells. There are no cancer patients that I've seen that aren't amino acid deficient. And we can replenish their amino acids easily. I give them 2 scoops or 10 tablets 3 times a day, and you'll see a lot of the patients we see have already been through the whole ringer with oncologists, with chemotherapy and radiation, and they're wasted down to like skeletons, and they've been told, hey, there's nothing else for you to do, we're done.
Get your affairs in order.
Get your affairs in order, I'm not ready to die yet, and they end up in my office, and we say, hey, there's a chance here. There's a chance. But the first thing we have to do is we have to reconstitute your immune system. Because if we don't do that, we're never going to do anything. You know, people given chemotherapy usually don't realize that the stem cells that started the tumor in the first place are not killed by the chemotherapy. Chemotherapy doesn't kill cancer stem cells. If you've got a cancer that's, let's say you've got 3 pounds of cancer in your body, and you give chemotherapy till the cows come home, you may kill a whole bunch of cancer cells, not the stem cells, but the daughter cells, and you will kill a whole bunch of your own body cells, including your immune system and your bone marrow and your gut and your hair, but you won't kill the stem cells, the things that started in the first place. And if you don't have an immune system left when they're done to mop up these circulating tumor stem cells, you're going to die. And the only thing that's going to get these tumor stem cells is your own immune system. And without amino acids, your immune system doesn't work. So this is very important. We have seen people over a 3-month period of time put on 14, 16 pounds of lean body weight.
Wow.
By taking, you know, 10 grams 3 times a day. It's 2 scoops 3 times a day or 10 tablets 3 times a day, perfect amino, added on to whatever they can get in. Right now we're keeping people on a ketogenic diet so that they're not taking in a whole lot of protein, and they gain weight. Their blood albumin goes up, their hemoglobin goes up, their white blood cell count goes up, they start to detoxify, they start to make energy, and they start to feel better. And then it's like, oh yes, maybe there's hope for me. Maybe I can actually beat this thing, or maybe I can get my immune system reconstituted enough that no more new cancer cells form new little metastases, and I can live with my cancer for another 20 years and die with my cancer. But if I'm not in pain and I have reasonable energy and I can do what I want, I can have a quality of life and I can live. And we see that happening. Without perfect amino, I don't think you can do it. I know that there are many diets, you know, you do a Hippocrates diet, you do a Gerson diet. I just don't see the successes coming out of those programs. I think a lot of those programs are excellent. The nutrient aspect of it is excellent, but the protein amino acid aspect of it is deficient. And unless you put, if you put these in, those programs work way, way better. And there's really nothing in the perfect amino that would violate those programs. And it's a pure product. These are pharmaceutical-grade L-form amino acids. There's no preservatives. There's no sugars. There's no, you know, there's some stevia added for taste. But it's a product that won't make you sick.
So we're doing a lot of walking for cancer and whatnot. And it occurs to me that I don't know if any of the big cancer centers really advising patients about their dietary needs for protein.
Anything, Carol, they don't. We have a great big cancer center here at University of South Florida.
Uh-huh.
It's a famous cancer center. Virtually every patient is told, eat whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
Ice cream, whatever.
American Cancer Society, eat whatever you want. The progressive organizations that are dealing with cancer are way better. You know, they have nutritionists and they're trying to optimize nutrition, but most of the big cancer centers just take calories because it doesn't matter. Vitamins and minerals don't work and supplements don't work, and just eat what you want. That's what I'm hearing from people every day.
The most astounding thing about that is the literature and the studies are there. All the things you're telling us about perfect aminos, that was even developed for
cancer
patients. Cancer wasting, yeah, for cancer patients. So why are they failing to pick up this information? I think you did an amazing job giving us an explanation. It seems so primary, so easy to understand, and so easy to follow. I also recall that they follow albumin in hospitals, and if your albumin level is low, it predicts death as it goes lower and lower. So why are they just watching albumin go low and not restoring the nitrogen to the body that the body needs?
You know, because the basic medical education, and for sure the oncology education in most places, I'm sure there's some places that are more, you know, Cancer Treatment Centers of America is very conscious about nutrition, and they're way better. But, you know, you go to Moffitt here or Sloan Kettering or these other places, it's a missing piece of education. It's a missing awareness. It's a missing knowledge. Things are done by very specific protocols, and it's pretty much a one-size-fits-all, and people come in and they get the program. Everyone who uses nutrition gets better results than people who don't. There's a very interesting book by Charles Simone,
he's been on our show, you know, many times,
about breast health and breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles Simone is not, you know, he's not this lightweight guy. He's
Mm-mm.
a really well-known researcher and scientist and medical doctor. And he wrote this book on breast cancer. And on the back cover, he's got three graphs. The title of the graph is "The Truth About Breast Cancer, About Breast Health-Breast Cancer Prescription for Healing." And the first graph shows the incidence of new breast cancer patients between 1960 and 2000. And in the lower left-hand corner, it says the incidence of cancer breast cancer in 1960 was 1 in 20. In 1980, it was 1 in 15. In 1990, it was 1 in 10. In 2000, it's 1 in 5. So the incidence of breast cancer is skyrocketing. Next to that, he's got a graph which shows the death rate from breast cancer. And it starts at 1920. And it runs through 2000. And it's a straight line. That the salvage from breast cancer last 80 years is virtually unchanged. Regardless of what PR is done, it's virtually unchanged. Mammogram, early diagnosis, all this stuff, virtually unchanged. And then the third graph, he says, length of life. What's the only thing that lengthens life? It's lifestyle modification. It's diet, nutrition, supplements, stress reduction, sleep, exercise, sunshine. That's the only thing that makes a difference. And this is sort of literature-based, you know, he's an internist, he's a medical oncologist, National Cancer Institute, tumor immunologist, radiation oncologist. I mean, he's like, and he's shouting it, and he's in the industry, and he's not being heard. But if you have cancer, or you have a family member with cancer, the most important thing that they can do is get their nutrition in order, get plenty of amino acids, vitamins, minerals, and, you know, work with a practitioner who can help you to do that. And we have some patients that go to the cancer center here and get chemotherapy. And we do, right along with that, a full nutrition program, IV vitamin C, ozone, oral nutrition, perfect amino. And you know what? They tell me one for one. I survived that really well. They're looking at me like, how come you're not so sick? How come you're... Well, because the stuff that you're giving me to kill my cancer cells would be killing me too. But if my nutrition is optimized, it doesn't kill me nearly as bad. And I can get through it. It works no matter what you do, if you do it.
So what do you say to those poor people who go and get a diagnosis of cancer, and they might be listening to this program, and they'll bring it up with their doctor? The doctor will absolutely, hands down, refuse to discuss it and say, please don't do anything to interfere with my direction of therapy for you?
The cancer literature is full of evidence that antioxidants do not impair chemotherapy, that vitamins and minerals do not harm the beneficial, quote-unquote, effects of chemotherapy. They do protect the patient. You're getting adriamycin, you're going to end up with a heart that doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
And if you take antioxidants, when you get it, it's going to help your heart to not get wrecked by the chemotherapy. It's going to make a huge difference. And this is all over the cancer literature. This isn't one study. There are lots of studies which show no diminishment in activity or no diminishment in survival by patients that take vitamin and mineral supplements while they're getting chemotherapy. And I think it's actually, it improves their outcome. It doesn't impair them. So if you're a cancer patient and you're sold that traditional therapy is the right thing for me, then I think you're getting with someone knowledgeable or educating yourself on what can I do to keep me replenished and my immune system strong and my amino acids optimized so that I can detoxify this chemotherapy that they're pouring in my veins, then take Perfect Amino, get with a practitioner like Corrine or other people that know what they're doing and can help you. And in some patients, they say, well, should I tell my oncologist? And I say, at your peril, you know, I don't need to hide from them.
Uh-huh.
But if you think that they can handle the conversation that you're doing this, talk to them, because I think it's best for the doctor to know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
They might even learn something from it. But if the guy's going to have... I had a conversation.
No, we...
I had...
hate to do this.
Oh, we got to quit.
I just hate to do this because it's just getting even more interesting, and I love hearing you speak, Dr. Minkoff. I learn so much every time. I got 2 pages of notes from a subject I already knew about. How did that happen? So I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you so much for the work you're doing and for the nutrients that you're creating that are making it possible for so many people to get healthier. So,
well, you're welcome. It's a pleasure and it's an honor. And I want to just return it back to you guys. You guys are essential in this system of helping people to live. And without us, and we need millions more of us, so that we can turn this culture around, where we can make the planet a non-toxic environment so that our children and our grandchildren can thrive, and we can make a culture where people can live and be happy and enjoy life rather than spending their time in hospitals and with doctors.
Could you give us your website, please?
And there's lots of information there and testimonials. And if you're an athlete, if you haven't tried Perfect Amino, you won't believe how good it works for you. We didn't talk about that, but it's extraordinary. And there are many, if you're a professional athlete, I can almost bet you that the guy who's beating you is on Perfect Amino and he's not telling you. A huge difference. I have a number of professional athletes, and they're basically don't talk about this. But it's an edge for us. The website is our medical practice, and it's LifeWorks, LifeWorks, wellnesscenter.com. We're in Clearwater, Florida. You have patients come from everywhere, so if you have a chronic illness or cancer, please call us if you need help, because we're really cutting edge in what we're doing, and we get great success with people.
Thank you so much. I can't wait till the next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye and all the best.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. You can hear this program in its entirety on my Facebook, Corrine Fornari RPACCN or on Take Charge of Your Health Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health. My website is frenarihealth.com and my office number is 212-219-0700. And I know many of you noticed that beautiful music, a big change. My brother's group wrote it for me. Left Hook from Redding, California. Really special. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.